The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we're afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever come into a room and been surprised and delighted to see a patch of rainbow light dancing on the floor? When you look for the source of the rainbow, you might see that someone left a glass of water on the windowsill. Just a plain old glass of water, but when the sunlight came shining through that plain old glass of water, it was refracted. It was broken up into the whole spectrum of visible light: red, yellow, orange, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And that rainbow of colors reflects on everything in its path for as long as the sun keeps on shining. In chapter 2 of Paul's letter to the Philippians, what Carol read a short time ago, Paul, writing from the darkness of a Roman prison cell, writes this glorious passage about Jesus Christ. It's possible that it's a very, very early hymn of the church, or it might have been a Paul original. He was a wonderful writer, as we all know. But whichever it is, this short passage is arguably the best and most beautiful exposition of what the incarnation means. Paul shows us what happened when the Most High God chose to put on human flesh and to live a human life with all its limitations and its weaknesses and its vulnerabilities, even its mortality and its shame. Not a life of human privilege, mind you. No wealth, no status, no protection, but the lowest of all human life, the life of a slave. The little patch of rainbow light that appears on the living room floor begins with the immense brightness of the sun that shines its light on the whole world. But what makes it happen, what causes that pool of rainbow light on the floor, is that simple glass of water, plain and unremarkable. Because when the rays of the sun pass through it, the light is broken. And it's not until the light is broken that that magic happens, the appearance of every color glowing brightly. The incarnation of Jesus Christ begins with the infinite love of the Father, who shows his loving kindness to his whole creation, who shines his sun and sends his rain down upon the righteous and the unrighteous, who sustains the life of every creature by his grace and his power. In the incarnation, Jesus came as plain and as unremarkable as that glass of water. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, Isaiah wrote, no beauty that we should desire him. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathanael asked skeptically when his friend tried to tell him about the wise rabbi he had found. Isn't this just Mary's son, that carpenter's kid? His neighbors said doubtfully when Jesus got up to preach in the synagogue of his hometown. We know him. He's nothing special. No one could see his glory, even though he was true God of true God, as the creed puts it, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Jesus was the one through whom and for whom everything was made that has ever been made. He was in the world, John wrote, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. The creator of the universe put on human flesh, plain and unremarkable. He was with God, and he was God, John tells us, but he didn't count his glory something to hold on to. He made himself nothing. He humbled himself, even to death. Even to death on a cross. The light that came to enlighten the whole world allowed itself to be broken. And that is when the magic happened. The glory of God was refracted in Jesus, through Jesus, and suddenly we all beheld it, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen the Father, John wrote, till now, because now the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So this is the mind we have in Christ Jesus. This is the mind that Paul urges us to have among ourselves, the mind that understands that our brokenness, not our righteousness, not our talents, not our good works, but our brokenness is the very thing that reveals the glory of God in the world. God's power is made perfect in our weakness, Paul wrote, out of his personal struggles with his own brokenness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Jesus shone through Paul, who was a self-righteous persecutor of the church with poor eyesight. And the glory of God shone out through him as he brought the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the known world. Jesus shone through Peter, an uneducated fisherman with a hot temper and a tendency to leap before he looked, as he became the rock on which the new church was established. Jesus shone through Mary, a nobody peasant girl from a nobody town, as she bore the Almighty, eternal God in her own body, as she nursed him, as she carried him in her arms. And he shines through you. It is a curious fact, or maybe not curious, that it's very often the things that we are ashamed of in ourselves that God uses to bless others. We look at ourselves many times, and all we can see is our weaknesses, our foolishness. We see the waning of our youth and our strength. We see our failures. We certainly see our troubles. We think many times that God could really use us if only we were smarter, if only we knew our Bible better, if only we lost 20 pounds, if only we were more talented, if only we were younger, if only we were somebody else. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chooses what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chooses what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to naught things that are. God is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, like the sunlight that shines through a glass of water, like it is broken and makes all color visible. Just like that, God's glory shines through us in our brokenness and makes His goodness visible in the world. In a few minutes, we're going to share Holy Communion this morning. During the consecration, I'll hold up the host of Christ's presence. I will speak His words, as I always do, saying, "This is my body broken for you." I'll break the bread and say, "Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." And in that moment, we see the light of the world broken in the plain, unremarkable elements of bread and wine. Shining through brokenness, the glory of God pours forth, and we are bathed in the many-colored light of His grace and His truth and His abundant loving kindness. "If then there is any encouragement in Christ," Paul writes, "any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, have the same love, be in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard each other as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself, and He became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted Him and gave Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Amen.
Amen.